The first reading is from Exodus 12, beginning in the 12th verse. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans, and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until this morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your houses to strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and for your sons forever. And when you come to the land that the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, 'What do you mean by this service?' you shall say, 'It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses.'" And the people bowed their heads and worshiped. The word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Revelation 6, beginning in the 12th verse. "When he opened the sixth seal, I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth, the full moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth, as the fig tree sheds its winter fruit when shaken by a gale. The sky vanished like a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?'" The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Jesus went on his way through the towns and the villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said to him, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" And he said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, open to us,' then he will answer you, 'I do not know where you come from.' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, you workers of evil.' In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out, and people will come from east and west and from north and south and recline at table in the kingdom of God, and behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." The Gospel of the Lord.
Most Heavenly Father, we come today to thank you and to praise you for the kindnesses that you've bestowed upon us. And we pray that you would, in your mercy, open your word to our hearts by the grace of your Holy Spirit, that we might behold the wonders of the gift you've given us in Jesus our Lord. Amen. Good morning, dear friends. Next week is Palm Sunday. Next week begins Holy Week. And for us at Christ Church, it marks the 10th year of coming into this church facility that the Lord's given us. So the celebration will begin next week, and in we come to Holy Week. And what I'd like to do this morning is sort of set context for us to prepare us for Holy Week. which is why I've really wanted this passage from Exodus 12 to begin our conversation today. So if you've got Bibles and you could go with me to Exodus 12, that would be a great blessing. I say this because what happens here in this unique passage of Scripture is that the Lord actually gives to us the foundation of what we're about to celebrate in Holy Week. Here is the raw story, the beginning of this journey. It is here that the story of the Passover is given to us. The Lord's Passover, the Lord's Passover lamb, the Passover sacrifice, it's all described here. And not only is the event about to happen in Exodus 12, but already the Lord says, every single year, celebrate the Passover. And most importantly, tell your children. Because this is the key, and I'm going to read this from verse 26 again. When your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? You shall say. In other words, this becomes the ground upon which our children can learn. And that's why I would like to suggest to you, year after year we celebrate. Year after year we come to Holy Week. Because year after year we have a story to pass on to the next generation. Do you get that? That's the wonder of it. But the story in its essence is utterly simple and able for a child to grasp. That is to say, this night that happened, this event that happened, is a moment when the Israelites were trapped in bondage under the cruel oppression of the Egyptians. This is the event when the Lord comes to rescue them. By an outstretched arm and by a mighty hand, he is going to bring them out of Egypt and bring them into the promised land. But in the midst of it, in that moment of delivery, there is a clear sending of the message that justice must happen. There is a day of judgment. There's always a day of judgment. There's always that moment when justice must come and stand on center stage. But here in the midst of it, there's provision, extraordinary provision of love and mercy and grace from the Lord. Here it is, instruction. Here it is, provision. Take for yourself a lamb. Kill the lamb. Take the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorposts of your house. How are we doing? It's visual, it's descriptive. It's not just a class, it's real. A real lamb, a real dying of that lamb and the blood taken and put on the doorposts. And here's the story. In its raw essence, the day of judgment is going to come. And when the Lord comes to bring that judgment and he passes through the land of Egypt, he is going to see that blood on your doorposts and he's going to pass over your house. Too many times we say Passover, we're celebrating the Passover, and we don't realize that what he's done is pass over. Pass over. What does that mean? That the day of judgment doesn't belong to you. How is it possible? Do you mean it's just raw mercy? He doesn't care about justice for us? No. The justice was met in the Lamb. The Lamb died. The justice was paid. Tell everybody, put it on the doorpost. You are free. If, here's the key. Are you ready for the key? This is the message. This is the ancient message. It's as old as it gets. And here it is to the children. Get inside the house. Get inside the house. Here it is. Listen to it in chapter 12 of Exodus and verse 22. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. Don't go out. You are safe inside. The destroyer is going to come, and the destroyer cannot touch you because you're in the house, because you're safe, because there's safety inside. And that is the Lord's provision. Everybody, get inside the house. Come, everybody inside the house. When the Lord sees the blood upon the door, guess what? He's going to pass over because for you, it's done and you are free. Children can understand this message. Children can rejoice in this message. Now listen to this. Already a child in Exodus 12 will have studied the entirety of the Bible, Genesis. It was a short Bible in those days. Really short. But they would have known the conversation about the door. Everybody would have known the conversation about the door. What do I mean? Well, just think about it. Back at the very beginning of time, back when the world was corrupt, back in the days of Noah, the Lord told Noah to build an ark. Guess what was in the ark? A door. Guess what Noah preached Sunday after Sunday, Saturday after Saturday, every single chance he got? One message. How many of you would like one message for the rest of your life? Not one of you. But it is the message. It is the message. Here it is. Do you know it doesn't matter if Noah was a good preacher or not? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if he looked good or didn't look good. It doesn't matter about his personality. We know nothing about the personality of Noah. All we know is he had a message, and that message was, get inside the house. You who are calling for repentance, you're already seeing the Baptist. I know that. But it's true, because to repent means you've got to turn away from where you are and get inside the house. Here's the point. You might not like the message, but when it starts raining, you'll wish you heard. In Genesis 6:17, there's an amazing moment. It's actually Genesis 7:16. I'm dyslexic on numbers. Genesis 7:16, it actually says that the Lord shut the door of the ark. When that door is shut, friends, the door is shut. And you just got to be on the inside. And the kids would have known that. The kids also would have known about the lamb, because that was taught. The lamb was always taught. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. The lamb was always taught. That the lamb comes, and what you do is you confess your sin upon the lamb, and the lamb takes it for you. The lamb dies for you. The lamb of God who takes away your sin. That's the story. And the kids would have known it by practice, because it was the practice to come to worship the Lord. They would have known about the door. They would have known about the lamb. They would have known about the judgment, and they would have known just to come inside the house, we are safe. You see, it is personal, and it is real, and it is practical, because every one of us knows that there is a judgment day yet to come. A child's going to know that, because the burden isn't the Egyptians. The Egyptians are just a picture that we're living in a world of sin, and that that sin resides in my heart. That sin, the real captivity, the real bondage is not somebody outside us. It's us. It's inside of us, which is why we need to confess that sin and be able to ask the Lord to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the key behind it. Would have known that. That's why. How many of you, when you were growing up, went through church and were bored? You know, and it's kind of like you're living in a history event, and something happened a long time ago, and mom and dad seem to be sleeping too, and see, the point is that there's no impact to the soul. And that's the problem going into Holy Week. We're all going to go through it, but is it going to impact us? Is it going to mean something for us? Is it going to touch our hearts? Does it mean anything for us? Listen to the heart of the story. Heart of the story is we actually know that a day of judgment is coming. And our forebears taught us that. And that's why today we're going to actually say the ancient Nicene Creed. And in that creed it says, "And he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead." He's coming back. And he has been appointed by the Father to be the judge and sit upon the throne. So all of us, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every single one of us personally will stand before the Lord and give an account of our life. That's how the Bible records this. The Lord has fixed a day, Acts 17:31, when he will judge the world in righteousness, according to the man he has chosen, having furnished proof to all by raising him from the dead. He has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness, which is exactly why John the Baptist, I'm now up to somebody over here. Now, that's why John the Baptist came on the scene. He told us to flee from the wrath of God to come. It's coming. The Lord, the Messiah, is coming. Flee from the wrath to come. Get away from it and come on inside. He said, the one who is coming has a winnowing fork in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor. The wheat will go into the barn, but the chaff will go into the eternal fire. Get on the inside. It was real and it was personal, which is why John the Baptist also gave us the message when seeing Jesus, he is the Lamb of God. That's where you get the announcement in John 1:29. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is him. He's come not with wrath on his mind. He's come with mercy. He's come with forgiveness. He's come to be the blood upon us that we might be safe and rescued and healed and made well and live with him forever. This is why he's come. This is who he is. He's going to take the wrath to himself that was belonging to us. He's going to be our lamb. He's going to take our sin and the wrath and the death we deserve upon him. That, my friends, is called mercy. It's called mercy. And that's what he's come to do. And that's why the Baptist kept saying, now come, here's what you do. Repent of your sin, confess, go down into the waters of baptism and wait for the lamb to come. And when the lamb comes, his blood will be on the doorpost of your heart and on the lintel of your heart, and you will be saved. And when the day of judgment comes, guess what? The Lord will see you, see the blood of Jesus upon you, because you've called him your Lord, you've called him your Savior, and he will see you, and he will pass over. You're mine. You're safe. My son took it for you. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, no, this is boring, right? I mean, this is just a church service. My friends, on the day of judgment, you're going to want to know this, that the Lord has come in mercy to help us and to give us grace and the wonders of it. This is why I had Donna, bless her heart, read Revelation 6, verse 12 to 17. I've never been in a church where that's actually been read before. Nobody wants to hear. This is the day. This is the day when you're not on the inside. Revelation 6, 12 to 17 gives us the picture of what it's like being outside. The sky vanishes, and the sun and the moon, the last great day of the coming of our Lord. And you've got this extraordinary description. Listen to this. The kings of the earth, the great ones, the generals, the rich and powerful, everyone, slave and free, they hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountain, calling to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of wrath has come. Who can stand? Who is it that can stand? I'll tell you who can stand. Only the ones who are under the blood of the Lamb. He did not come to bring us wrath. He came to rescue. He came in mercy. He came to save. There's no reason anybody should be on the outside ever. So guess what Jesus preached? Guess what his main sermon was? Oh, you're not going to guess. Because it's been the same sermon ever since. How many of you know the golden rule? To treat one another as you'd like to be treated? Do you know what the next verse after the golden rule is? Enter by the narrow door. The door is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. But the way is narrow. The door is narrow that leads to life. Strive, Luke 13 that we just heard, strive to enter by the door. And then he says in John 10 verse 9, by the way, I am the door. He says it. He actually says the words. The door on Noah's ark, I am the door. The door at the Passover in Exodus 12, I am the door. I am the way. If you enter by me, you will be saved. Because inside, it is safe. Strive to enter by the narrow door. This is what we teach our children. Do you see? Do you hear? This is why what Jesus said, there's coming a day. In Luke 13, there's coming a day in which the master of the house is going to stand up and the door is going to be closed. Just like the day when the door of the ark was closed, there's coming a day when the door is going to be closed. Friends, you want to be on the inside when the door is closed. And those are standing outside, they're saying, wait, we went to church. Wait. We did a lot of good works. Well, good for you, because you're outside. and the door's closed, and it is over. It's over. You don't want to be on the outside. And guess what? Today, April 7, 2019, today, the door is still open. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And our message is one and the same. Oh, kids, oh, everybody who can hear our voice, come on inside. Come under the blood of the Lamb. Oh, come receive Jesus. Let him be Lord of your life. Because here is where safety is. Here is where healing is. Here is where grace is. Here is where the promise of life now and life to come is. You are a person where judgment is in the past at the cross. It isn't the judgment that is to come. Because in the judgment to come, he's already passed over you at the cross. So in 2004, Errol and I went to plant a church in Connecticut. New England is hard soil. It's hard soil. Don't mess with the Yankees or the Red Sox. All we could find was a middle school. Everywhere we looked for a building, we couldn't find one. Every Sunday we set up, every Sunday in the middle school we took down. And as you looked at the cafeteria and the auditorium where we were and taught Bible study, fellowship, parish hall, and the auditorium where we met for church, right across the way was a football field. I mean, literally a stone's throw was the fence for the football field. And inside, it converted to a soccer field. It converted to a lacrosse field. It had a track for track meets. It had everything. And Sundays, it depends what Sunday it was, but somewhere in your lifetime, if you're over 35, somewhere in our lifetime, some school board, some town committee, somebody in our country decided that Sunday mornings do not belong to the Lord. Sunday mornings belong to play. That our kids can play. Who did this? When was the announcement made? And so we'd come to Sunday sometime. We couldn't come to church because there were no parking places. We couldn't find parking places. And we had to park all the way across the campus. We had to take some of our elderly and make sure that they were dropped off. But we couldn't get into the church because today doesn't belong to the Lord. Today, this is what we're teaching our kids coming up. Today belongs to play. And of course, then the Christians are saying, but my kids, they're so good at the sports. I can't come because we're playing in a tournament. We can't because the culture, because what's going on. And it's time to play. When did that happen? And so then the churches thought, oh my gosh, what do we do? Here's what we do. We've got to compete with the entertainment culture. We've got to make our service so awesome that they won't play today. They'll come to church today because it's so much fun to be in church that they'll get wowed better than they get wowed out there. So now we've got a wow competition. Wow. Did you go to church? Wow. Because it's like, wow. Just keep filling the kids up with this wow. And look what we're getting as a result. Our churches have lost the message, and our kids are lost in their soul. We have more delight in our country for the entertainment than it is to hear the old story. Who's going to know next week is Palm Sunday? Who's going to know that Maundy Thursday begins the day when our Lord began to surrender himself for us? Who's going to even come on Good Friday? Good Friday is almost lost in our culture. Some will come to Easter because it's a wow Sunday. Palm Sunday is a wow Sunday. So you can actually go from Palm Sunday to Easter and go, wow, wow. But you know you can't get to Easter unless you go through Good Friday. And Good Friday is where we bow low because he who came to honor us, it's time for us to honor him. This is the one the Lamb of God, who has come to shed his blood for us, so that we might be forever passed over and set free. There's no wow like the kingdom of God. It doesn't compare with the passing enjoyments of this culture. Because in this culture, you get it, and you're going to have to get it again. Because once you got it, you lose it. And you lose it, you got to get it. And then you get it, you're going to lose it. And the next moment, you're addicted to something to get the high that the culture wants us to be on. The kingdom of God will give you life that is not comparable. A freedom uncomparable. Healing to the body, healing to the mind, healing to the heart, healing to the soul, so that we can ride into Easter and know inside the house there is a party, a celebration, because we aren't just in this life. We're going home to an eternal life that's got promises. This is why what's happening on the Passover is once it was passed over, the Lord just didn't leave them there in dull, boring church services. He picked them up and took them to the promised land. And if we didn't have a hope and didn't have a future, where are we going? What are we doing? What's our identity? What's our purpose that this generation is struggling with? Well, we as Christians know where we're going. We've got a purpose. We've got direction. We know who we are because we've been already passed over. So we come and we celebrate Palm Sunday, and we celebrate Maundy Thursday, when the Lamb of God took to himself the beginnings of our sin, and the blood began to spill in Gethsemane. We go with him to the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago, because what happened to him is he's taking our sin today upon him then. It was all paid for. And all we need to do is receive Christ into our life and hear the message over and over and over again. Get inside the house. Get inside. Get inside. Get inside the house. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care if you're rich and powerful or slave. I don't care who. Get in the house. Get in the house. Get in the house. Get inside the house. That's what the parents said. And don't go outside to play. Come on. Come on. Get inside the house. And that, my friend, is the freedom like no other freedom that the Son of God came to give us. And when the Son has set you free, right, Tom? When the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. Friends, if you don't have that freedom today, oh Lord, have mercy. Don't leave the house until you get inside the house.